It's been a blessing for the last few weeks to talk about the grace of God. God's grace is truly amazing. It's amazing for many reasons. Number one, because it teaches us. It instructs us. The very fact that it teaches us and instructs us, it helps us in the way of holiness. The only way that we can be a partaker of the holiness of God is through God's grace. The Bible teaches us that God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present time. We see that in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. We talked about God's grace from many particular vantage points on the last couple of weeks. This week, I want us to talk about God's indescribable gift. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse number 15, I just want to use this as a propositional passage, a passage in which to build our thoughts upon. We're definitely going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, but I want us to take notice of verse number 15. Paul tells the Corinthian brethren in his second letter to them, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." We know here that he's talking about Jesus Christ. If anybody knows how to give, it's God. In John 3 and verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God knows how to give. God knows how to teach us. In Ephesians 2 in verse number 8, there the Bible teaches us that we're saved by grace and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It's free. It's nothing that you can do. God gave us his grace. But there's another passage that's beautiful. And that's Acts 2 and verse 38. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive," notice the language, "the gift of the Holy Spirit." God gave the gift of life. Friends, when we consider the God of heaven, he knows how to give. He gave his grace. It is his grace that teaches us how to give. In Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, I want us to begin our thoughts there. We have a special situation going on. It's called the Judean Relief. We have a man by the name of Agabus. He was one of the prophets of this time. It's interesting that when you turn or consider Ephesians 4, verse number 11, and how the church was structured, that God put into the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is for the building up of the church. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity. God wants us to be a people who knows how to be his people. Here, this prophet, Agabus, had something to say about what was going to take place in Judea. Notice what he says. "And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world." Now, notice the language here. "Which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability," that's key, "each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they did also, or this they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." It's interesting that when we see this particular situation, we know that there was an issue with the people of God and the famine that was going to take place even with the people of God. If you will, you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here, Paul, as he is writing his second letter to the brethren at Corinth, has some very beautiful words to say. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Notice the grace of God. Hold on. I thought the grace of God teaches me to deny ungodliness. I thought God's grace was a free gift. Hold on. We're seeing that Paul is about to use the grace of God in another way. It's interesting that you can't confine God's grace to just one thing. Here, the Bible, when you consider the scriptures holistically, an inductive study, a good investigator likes to gather all of the information, all of the evidence before he or she concludes on the matter. Here we see that God's grace has been bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, verse 2, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality, their free will giving, if you will. For I bear witness, I vouch, that according to their ability, yea, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us, begging us with much intrigue, much urgency, that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we hope, listen to this, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then unto who? Then unto us, by the will of God. Friends, if we're going to be not only recipients of the grace of God, but if we're going to be distributors of the grace of God, we have to be like those in Macedonia. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves unto the apostles. We have to first give ourselves unto the Lord, and then we give ourselves unto one another. But notice what he says in verse number 6. I love this. So we urge Titus. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about Titus. I would have to go back to chapter 7. And just for a few minutes, let me talk about Titus. Just for a few minutes. Since y'all going to give me this time, I'm going to take it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 6, here we see that Paul was so comforted by the coming of Titus. He was comforted. In verse number 13... notice what he says, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus. In verse number 14, even so our boasting of Titus was found true. There was something about this godly man, Titus. Drop down to verse number 16. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you in the heart of Titus. Look at verse number 23. He says, if anyone inquires about Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker. It's something about good men like Titus. Titus was a good man of God. He was one that not only was a contributor of the grace of God, but he was a recipient of the grace of God, and he was put up as an object lesson. You know, it kind of reminds me of Job when God said, have you considered my servant Job? Could you put your name in that category? Here we see that the church at Macedonia, which was a poor church, a poverty-stricken church, they brought all of their resources together because they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to the apostles. It's amazing what the people of God can do when they come together and bring their resources together. I want us to continue to look at verse number 7. But as you abound in everything, listen to this particular verse. As you abound in everything, what, Paul? In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence. Notice what he says. And in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Abound in what grace, Paul? helping out the brethren that needed help in the relief. And friends, if people are going to see that the Lord's church are going to be the people that they claim to be, they must be recipients of the grace of God and also distributors of the grace of God. Grace is about giving, giving instruction, but also charitable giving, as we see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Look at verse number 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, in order that you through his poverty might become rich. Isn't it amazing that Jesus gave up what he gave up in order to come down to be a savior for us? Rich. And friends, our Lord is rich. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's rich in love. But he did that, that we may become rich. And because we are rich, Paul says, I'm going to give you some advice. Look at verse 10. And in this, I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were designed to do a year ago. Remember the Judean relief, the problem that was going on in the days of Agabus in Acts chapter 11. They must have given a pledge saying, hey, our brethren need help. We're going to do our level best to help them. We're all going to come together and help them out to the best of our ability. Verse 11. But now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, now notice that, friends, if there's first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. God has never, ever expected us as his people to give what we didn't have. He expected us to give out of what we have. If we're going to help someone, we're going to help someone out of what we have, not out of what we don't have. Verse 13, for I do not mean that others should be ease and you burden, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance, now notice this, your abundance may supply their lack, and their abundance also may supply your lack. It's reciprocal. We're going to help one another out, if you will, that there may be equality, as it is written, he who gathers much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Verse 16, but thanks be to God, who put the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, the encouragement, but being more diligent, he went to you on his own accord. Notice the attitude that Titus had. He wasn't made to go where he went. He went because this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to be pleasing to the Lord. He wanted to help his brethren. Verse 18. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, notice this passage, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with this gift. He's going to be with us with the gift that y'all have given to us so we can help out our brethren and those who are in need. But Paul, who are they going to be helping? Notice, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself and to show your ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in the lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of all men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. Listen to this. If anyone inquires about Titus, if anyone wants to know anything about this man, he's my partner and fellow worker concerning you. We're all in this together. One thing I love about the Lord's church, When it's done properly, it's no big I's and little U's. We're all in this the same, all in this together. We may have different roles to play, but we're all in this together. If a problem comes up with a congregation at another location, we're all in this together. We're going to help out as much as we can in order to help those individuals. And hopefully they'll do the same for us if we needed that help. But notice what he says. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. You know, as I was looking at this, thought about, you know, we're the glory of Christ. Have you thought about that lately? The very fact that you've been washed in the blood of Christ, you are the glory of Christ. People ought to be able to see Christ living in us, the hope of glory. Wow. Verse 24. Therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia, which is in Greece, was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Listen to this, friends. Because of the grace of God, their zeal stirred up more people. Because of the grace of God, our zeal ought to stir up other people as well in the Lord's church. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort you, to exhort the brethren, to go to you ahead of time, to prepare for your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. And friends, if we're going to help anyone, it's because of the grace of God. It's because God has given to us a special gift in Jesus Christ, salvation. We ought to be willing to help others. But here he's saying, I'm going to send someone there early so to make sure that as you're giving with the right attitude and not because of a mere obligation. Sometimes in the Lord's church, we think that we're given to God out of mere obligation. God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Notice verse number 8. This verse ought to make you shout. And God is able to make all favor, all delight, all joy, all grace abound toward you. Notice what Paul is telling the Corinthian brethren, that God is able to make all favor abound toward you. Hold on. If I'm doing my part as a Corinthian to help those who are in Jerusalem, and the Macedonians are doing their part to help those in Jerusalem, then God is able to make all grace bound toward me? Yes. He is. But I got to trust the grace of God. I got to be a recipient of the grace of God. I have to be a distributor of the grace of God. And notice what he goes on to say. That you always having all sufficiency in all things. You know, we worry about if we're going to have everything we need, don't we? Why is that, Pope Joy? Why do we always worry if I'm going to have enough? If I'm doing what God says, I'm going to have enough. I'm going to have all sufficiency according to what Paul tells the Corinthian brethren. And notice what he says. May have an abundance for every good work. Notice verse number 9, and then we're going to go from here to Psalm 112. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Go to Psalm 112. Let's read this real quick. This is a magnificent study. And the more I was looking at this, the more I was saying, wow. Here, Paul draws strength from the psalmist in Psalm 112. He says, praise the Lord. Listen to these, friends. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He who lends to the poor. Wow. Friends, you know, it's amazing. He who lends to the poor lends to the Lord. You look that passage up. That's a powerful passage. Here we see that the psalmist says a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. You know, it takes great trust to give out of what you have to help others. Sometimes it's difficult because we just don't think that we're going to have enough. But hold on. God had enough to give his son. God had enough to give grace. God had enough to give us life. We ought to have enough to help those who are in need as well, in and out of the church. Oh, God's grace is not just for us to benefit from a salvational perspective, but also to be distributors out of what we have. Notice what he says. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. Here it is where Paul was quoting from right here. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn, meaning his strength, will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Friends, God will always take care of his people. And here Paul is telling the Corinthian brethren, here you had made a vow to help your brethren out a year ago. We're coming now to bring it, to take it, so we can go help our brethren out. That's the grace of God. Notice what he says in verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Paul, what are you saying? That which you have given to help your brethren and given to help your fellow man, it's going to go a long way. What a beautiful thought. Notice what he says, verse 11. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Friends, did you get that verse? Did you see that? The grace of God was bestowed upon the Macedonians. The Corinthians were encouraged to get involved with the grace of God because they're already doing it. I need you, I'm going to send someone to you to remind you of the obligation that you have because you said you was going to help. Now he's saying God is going to take care of all of your needs. He's going to supply everything that you need. And notice what's going to take place, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Friends, everything that we do is about giving glory to God. Every single thing. People ought to be able to see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And notice verse number 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, this service, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them. Who's the them? You go back up to verse number 12. It's the saints. But not just the saints, my friends. Notice. And all men. For some reason, there's a group of us that believe that you can't use money from the treasury to help those who are not in Christ. That's unfortunate. Friends, God's grace has appeared to all men, but all men are not saved. God uses our resources to help all men. Perhaps, just perhaps, someone would ask or say, what can I do that I may be part of a great group of people such as you? Y'all helped me when I was down and out. Y'all helped me when I didn't have anything. Y'all helped me when I had everything wiped away. What can I do to be part of such a group like that? Wow. I just can't believe how good all this is. This is good material. Friends, God has always looked out for all mankind. Shame on the people of God when we don't. God loves all people. And God wants all people to be saved. And God wants all people to have the abundant life. All people, not y'all people, all people. God wants all people to benefit in this life. And it's unfortunate when Satan blinds the minds of those and causes them not to have the abundant life which is in Christ. Notice what he says in verse number 14. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The more I thought about this, as we come to some type of close, turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, and then from there we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we're going to throw in verse 3 and 4 as well, but first 1 and 2, because first, Paul is telling the brethren at Corinth, now concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia. Paul, what are you saying? What I told the Corinthians, what I'm telling you is what I told the Galatian brethren. So you must do also. On the first day of the week, friends, this is a command that he's given to the brethren at Corinth. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. But here we see something that they did every week. But then in verse 3 and 4, we see something specific. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. You need to give so you can help the saints, but there is a gift that's going to be going to Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting? Go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16 and notice what your Bible here says. Friends, when we come together and we worship God in spirit and in truth, not just with the fruit of our lips, sacrifices of praise to God, giving thanks to his name, verse 15, but also notice verse number 16. But do not forget to do good. And what else, Hebrews writer? And to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hold on. Did God share his son with us? You better believe he did. Did God give us life that we can be partakers of his holiness? You better believe he did. Did God give us the gift that we may be able to live this life in great hope of eternal life? You better believe he did. What a great God that we serve. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 13, notice what your Bible says. In Romans 12 and verse number 13, just the very first part of this verse is powerful. He says, distributing to the needs of the saints. The word distributing there, koinonia, fellowship, Sharing. God has always wanted his people to share. And friends, we ought to be a people who love to share, not just our time, not just our homes, but we ought to be willing to share the things that we have. In Proverbs 3 and verse number 9, there the Bible teaches us to honor the Lord with our possessions. We ought to be sharing the things that we have. Why? Because our brethren may need something, and we want to make sure that we supply their needs. Why? Because of the grace of God. What I thought about God's grace, we'll look at one more aspect next week. That's 4 weeks of talking about God's grace. I could probably talk the rest of the year. But friends, let us continue to open up our hearts that God's grace may teach us. Let's be consistent in applying God's grace to those who are in need in and out of the church. You just never know who you might help one day. And they might come around and say, you remember a year ago you helped me out with such and such and such? I do. Appreciate that. Thankful for you. You just don't know what it did for me. I want to be a part of that group that you're with. Sometimes we hold on to that which God has blessed us with. Mama told me a long time ago, son, God blessed you so you can be a blessing. Don't let the blessing stop with you. Don't let the blessing stop with you. You know, it's the same with the gospel. God blessed us with salvation. We've obeyed the gospel. Don't let the blessing of the gospel stop with you. Let's keep teaching and sharing and distributing the gospel. Let's combine our resources together whenever we can that God may receive glory. And let's choose the good every single day and watch God work in our lives. All of us in here are recipients of the grace of God. And because we are recipients of the grace of God, we ought to be distributors of the grace of God. And because we ought to be distributors of the grace of God, we ought to sit back and watch people glorify our God. And when we sit back and we watch people glorify our God, we sit back with a smile and we say, I'm just an unprofitable servant, just doing that which I have been bidded to do. I'm just a servant. The grace of God. Isn't it beautiful? If you're not a child of God, we want you to be part of the grace of God. Grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Well, his delight, his joy. Friends, God has been good to all of us. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Repent. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will add you to his son's church where God's grace is. God's grace is in Christ. God's grace has appeared to all men, but God wants all men to be in the grace, and it's in Christ. That's where he put it. There's no grace outside because he put all the grace inside. So you got to get in order to be a recipient of that grace. But maybe you're a child of God, you need special prayer. Maybe you want a better understanding of God's grace. Let us help you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.